chapter 8, and we move through Matthew and Mark, and so now we're in Luke, and we're looking at miracles that's only recorded in Luke. And in Luke chapter 17, there's a story, and it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he entered a village there, and 10 men with lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." You know, as Jesus was going into the city, it says that there were 10 men with leprosy, and they stood there crying out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And lepers in this time period, they were the outcasts of society. They were second-class citizens, if you will. It was a disease that you couldn't easily hide. It was contagious, so they had to warn everyone that was coming near them, unclean. They would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." If they were walking down the road and they saw someone coming towards them, they had to cross to the other side of the road and yell, "Unclean." So the lepers would make these little colonies or little communities, if you will, inside the communities, and that would be who they associated with, because if you've already got leprosy, you can't catch leprosy. You already got it. And so these 10 men may have been one of those little communities, and either way, they were crying out for mercy. And have you noticed that when people are coming to Jesus, one of the first things they say is, "Have mercy on us"? I think about the beggars. They cried out. They said, "Have mercy on us." I think about the woman who came and she's asking for her daughter. She says, "Have mercy on us." They're saying, "Have mercy." You know, all of us need some mercy from time to time. I heard a story about a blind man, and he was sitting on a busy street corner with a cardboard sign that read, "I'm blind, please help." And no one really stopped. And one day a woman stopped and took his sign and rewrote his sign. And it says, "It's a beautiful day, but I can't see it." And suddenly people began to give. The words changed, but the heart stayed the same. He cried out for mercy and people responded. The 10 lepers didn't care how they looked or sounded. They were desperate for mercy. Desperation gets Jesus' attention. Verse 14 said he looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And showing yourself to the priest in this time period was like getting the all clear from the doctor. You're all good. You're clear to go back to work. Everything's clear. You're good. Jesus was saying, "Go and show yourself, and by the time you get there, you'll be good." And as they went, they were cleansed. It wasn't like it was a progressive healing. It was a moment of, are you going to be obedient to what I'm asking you to do? Because it's the act of obedience that healed them. It wasn't the fact that they went and showed themselves to the priest. It was an act of obedience to go. It was the first step of faith. It was that first step. They had to take the first step towards the priest. If they would have stood there conversing amongst themselves about how it didn't work, they would have never seen their healing. But when they took that first step, it was that first step of faith. Sometimes the miracle doesn't happen until you start walking. They still had leprosy. When they started toward the priest, they still had leprosy. So there was a measure of great faith for them to start the journey. That moment of you telling me to do something, because if I step out in an act of obedience, something miraculous will happen. That first step is hard. The first step towards the altar is hard. The first step toward salvation is hard. It's the first step towards serving Him. It's the first step of laying down an addiction. It's the first step in tithing. It's the first step into what God is calling you to do. It's when you take the first step, the second step is easier. It's the first step that we have trouble with sometimes. It's the first step of stepping out and saying, okay, God, I know what you told me to do. It's not easy. It's hard. It's not easy. But it was the obedience in motion that brought their healing. As they went, they were cleansed. I think about Peter. He didn't walk on water because the water changed. He walked because he took a step. And when he stepped out of the boat, he was standing on the word, not on the waves. Jesus said, come. These guys were healed because they stepped out on the word of go and show yourself to the priest. Healed. But what if they wouldn't have? I think about Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. They had captured some Hebrews children and women, and they put them into slavery. And this one was his wife's servant, and she said, I wish the master Naaman would go and present himself to the prophet. There's a prophet in Samaria who can heal him. And so he tells the king that, and the king sends him and says in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, so Naaman went to with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. But Naaman became angry and left, stalked away, stomped away. I thought he would certainly come out and meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hands. These lepers expected Jesus to touch them. I expected him to wave his hands over me, call on the name of his Lord and heal me. And he says, aren't the rivers in Damascus cleaner than the Jordan? They're clear water. The Jordan is nasty, muddy, dirty water. His servants are like, but if he had told you to do something hard, you would have done it. If he told you to do something difficult, you would have done that. But because it's so simple, of all you have to do is dip yourself in the river 7 times, that's all you have to do. So he finally did it, and his skin became as healthy as a young child. He was healed. And they go back to Elisha, and they're wanting to give him a gift, and he wouldn't accept their gifts. And even though Naaman urged him, Elisha refused. But it was the first step for Naaman. He didn't want to get in the muddy water of the Jordan River. The Damascus rivers were so much clearer. They were so much better. He's looking at it going, that's too simple, and there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. He was supposed to come out and wave his hands over me. He was supposed to come out and say, you're healed. He was going to act like Jack Sparrow and do that. It's not, go and dip myself in the river? Does it make sense? How could this work? How could paying my tithe make me better? How could paying my tithe make my money last longer? How can doing that help? Because the scripture says it's the first fruits. And the 10% redeems the 90. It doesn't make sense. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. If we give the first fruits, the first 10 redeems the rest of the 90. Although it doesn't make sense, it's the first step. The lepers had to take the first step toward the priest. They may have stood around discussing it for a minute. There may have been one or two that said, I don't think we should go. There was probably one in the crowd that said, what about the guy that he just touched that had leprosy? Why couldn't he do that for us? Because in Matthew chapter 8, it says, suddenly a man with leprosy approached him. He knelt before him and said, Lord. And this man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him, touched a leper who they weren't supposed to touch. It made Jesus unclean, touched him and said, I am willing, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. You think that a leper hadn't heard about that guy? They knew. And they knew that all it took was Jesus touching him. What about us? What about us? Why do we have to go do this? Why can't we just be healed by him touching us? But the moment they took the first step, the moment they set out for the priest, that's the moment that they were healed. That's the moment when faith shifts from belief to action. It's that moment, that first step. In airports, have you seen those moving sidewalks? And if you stand still, it'll carry you to the end of the thing. But, you know, I've not really seen very many people that just stand on those moving sidewalks. You get on those moving sidewalks and you start walking, and by the time you know it, your movement multiplies the momentum, and so you're moving a lot faster than if you just stood there and let it take you. Faith is like that. God moves when you move. Verse 14 says, he looks at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. They were cleansed. They were healed. No more leprosy. No more yelling unclean. No more having to live as a second-class citizen. They could be productive citizens again. They could return to their families and their homes and their lives. It's in that moment. As they're walking, do they go on to the priest? They're healed now. They started walking towards the priest and they're healed. And it doesn't say that they went on to the priest. It doesn't say whether they did or didn't. But what it does say in verse 15 is one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. And he fell at the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And Luke says, this man was a Samaritan. Luke points out that the only one of the lepers that comes back giving praise, and it was the despised Samaritan. The Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. Yet this is the only one that comes back to give glory to God and praise God. The despised one. If you read commentators and you read some of the things that they say about Samaritans and you're reading it, and it's like, man, they just looked at them as they were the criminals, right? Those guys, just no good scoundrels, Samaritans. But he's the one that came back. And he's the one that looked and said, to God be the glory, because I'm healed. Why? Why was it just one? Why didn't all 10 of them come? I believe this. The reason that the Samaritan was the one that came back was he believed that he was the one with the most mercy shown. He felt it. Those other guys could have felt the mercy of being healed. Maybe this guy had something wrong with him other than the leprosy. Maybe the leprosy had eaten away his fingers. Maybe it had deformed his face. And in that moment that he was healed, those fingers grew back. Or the deformity of his face fixed itself. The mercy was greater. And not only that, he was a Samaritan. Jesus didn't even have to talk to him. Didn't even have to associate with him. Yet he showed him mercy. And he comes back and he praises God. And Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10? Why is there only one? Where's the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Except for this guy? Only this foreigner, only the one that was not from the area, the one that is the one that came to give glory to God, the one that everyone looks at and despises because they're Samaritans and they worship on a different hill than we worship, even though they're worshiping the same God. The Samaritans who believe that only the first 5 books of the law are the Bible, the rest, they believe in the rest of it. The Samaritans? There, he's the one that comes back. And Jesus looks at him in verse 19, though, and says, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. That doesn't make sense. Because you told them to go and show themselves to the priest and they would be healed. Now you're saying your faith is what healed him. Well, his faith, His great faith to take that step to go towards the priest is what healed him. It was an act of obedience, but it was also an act of faith. It goes back to a measure of faith. It was a faith that healed him. It was taking the first step, the great faith that healed this man. It was the moment of stepping out into obedience. For some of you today, you need to take that first step. Because even though it may just be a step for you, it could mean a giant leap for your family. Coming to this altar is just a step for you. But it could pay dividends for your family. I'm grateful that my grandpa took that step of faith. I remember asking him about when he got saved. And I was probably 12 or 13 when I remember asking him this. And shortly thereafter, maybe even the next weekend, he had a stroke and was unable to speak, but I remember talking to him about this, and I remember him telling me that he had heard people talking about the end times and the rapture, and he took a 5-gallon bucket and went out in the middle of the field and sat on that 5-gallon bucket and got right with God. And because he took that step, 3 generations later, we are still serving God. You never know what your step of obedience will set in motion. What your step of faith will set in motion for the generations that follow. Some of you are in this room because someone took a first step that was a leap of faith for the generations to follow. Are you willing to take the first step? Are you ready to step out into the possibility of something miraculous? Have mercy on us. Well, if you'll go towards the priest, if you'll take that first step, the miraculous will follow. That seems too easy. That's all we have to do. That's it. Will you move before you see the miracle? It's easy for us to move once we see the miracle happen, but will we make that step and take that step before the miracle happens? For some of you, it's not just a step. It's a leap of faith that will impact your family and your future. Are you willing? Are you willing to take it this morning? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this church. And Lord, I just pray that today that you help us to take that step. Lord, there are people in this room that need to take the first step of what you're asking them to do. Well, it's a step of obedience so that you can change something. It's taking that first step of laying down the addiction. It's taking that first step and beginning to pay tithe. It's taking that first step of coming to the altar, some for the very first time. And Lord, I pray that you give them the strength today. I pray that your Holy Spirit begins to give them the strength to do that. Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you today. Maybe you're here and you need to take that first step. Maybe you're not where you need to be with God and you need to get right with him today. And it's that first step. Maybe you don't want to come alone, but you need to come. Grab the person next to you and I invite you to come to this altar. Take that first step. Take that leap that'll change the generations to follow. Maybe it's something else. Maybe God's been speaking to you about something. Maybe it's about doing something. Maybe it's about stepping out and it's a great faith moment and you just need that extra encouragement. I encourage you to move and take that first step and come to this altar. And let's pray and believe together. Maybe you need a healing in your body. Are you going to take the first step? Maybe you just need a miracle. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you just need a miracle. And a miracle is all that's going to change it. It's the only thing that can change it. I encourage you to move. Don't let pride hold you back. Don't let what other people think hold you back. Thank you. I thank you for the ones that responded. And Lord, I just pray that you just begin to move. Lord, I believe there's some more that need to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just begin to move on their hearts even now, God. That you begin to move on their hearts even now. Lord, I pray that you just change things today. That you change things today. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We thank you. We praise you today. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so. These altars are open.